Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you for joining with us online. My name's John, one of the pastors on staff here, and we are in part two of this series, Nearer Than You Think, where we're walking through the Gospel of Mark, and we're listening to the greatest story ever told, the story of Jesus of Nazareth, as narrated by Peter, one of his disciples. And I'm excited today because we are going to pick up where Peter left off, and Peter immediately is going to confront us with three very disturbing narratives, three very paradigm-shifting narratives. And it's as if Peter wants to explain to us just how disturbing or just how disruptive Jesus' ministry actually was, just how disruptive his teaching was. So he gives John Mark these three stories to explain how different this kingdom of God is, this kingdom of God that God proclaimed, that Jesus proclaimed everywhere he preached. Now, let me give you a summary of these three stories real quick. The first thing we discover is that Jesus would ignore certain religious protocol. What we listen to and hear is that Jesus claimed to have power to forgive sin. And then we hear that Jesus was uncomfortably comfortable with unrepentant sinners. In other words, Jesus right up front immediately removes three obstacles to God. Three different obstacles to God. Now, what's interesting is several hundred years later, the church would take these obstacles that Jesus removed and they would incorporate them back into the equation. In fact, these obstacles, maybe you have one of these three obstacles that you deal with. Maybe for you, you got bounced out of the church a while ago because of some kind of religious protocol. Maybe somebody told you you had to act a certain way or dress a certain way, or maybe you were told you had to marry a certain way and things like that. And you thought, well, that really doesn't have anything to do with anything. And if God is that petty and that small, I don't think I want to have anything to do with it. So you kind of left because of some religious protocol. And I think Peter would say, hey, just wait to what Jesus does. Check this out. Or maybe for you, you're still grappling with some kind of something going on in your life, some kind of sin, some kind of shortcoming, some kind of habit that you can't break, and you think it's very nice that you hear that God forgives, but you don't really believe that God can actually forgive you. If anybody knew and if anybody found out what was really happening, you would be pretty sure that you wouldn't be able to find any kind of sense of peace with God or with yourself. And again, Peter would say, well, just wait till you hear my story. Or maybe this idea of uncomfortably comfortable is relevant for you because maybe you're out there and you don't really want to come to a church or a faith community because you're not so sure you can be around those church people because they are, you know, so consistently, they seem to be consistently really good and I don't think I can be that good. And again, I think Peter would say, listen, we were shocked. We were so surprised that Jesus was perfectly comfortable hanging out with people who had no inclination when it comes to religion at all. And so that Jesus came to reverse the order of things, that Jesus was the king who would come to reverse the order of things. So let me share what Peter shares happened. This is verse 39, chapter 1. So as we read, so Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him. Now, in those days, leprosy wasn't diagnosed the way it's diagnosed today. In those days, anytime you had a skin rash or a skin disease, that freaked everybody out. And so they would categorize everybody together and put them outside of the community because they were afraid to death, afraid of them. And so people with leprosy, it was as if they hung between heaven and earth. Imagine this. Imagine, and maybe this is the way you feel about your life from time to time. They were unable to die, but they could only watch the world around them. They could only watch as people would take their children and other people would raise their children. They could only watch when their husbands and wives would become ex-husbands and ex-wives for other people to raise their children. They could only watch when other people were prospering. They were only could watch when the world changed around them that they couldn't participate. It was as if they hung between heaven and earth. They were shunned and no one ever touched them. And so this leper comes to Jesus and falls before Jesus. And he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You know, in spite of what you might have heard about what faith is, this is perfect faith. You know what perfect faith is? It's believing Jesus can and hoping that he will. Perfect faith is believing Jesus can and hopeful that he will. Well, Jesus was indignant. Scripture says he was indignant. In other words, he was so upset. What was he upset at? Not at the man with leprosy. He was upset at the whole situation. He was upset at the fact that there was even a disease that existed. He was upset with the fact that this man had to separate himself from a community because of this social taboo. So he was. So he reached out his hand, and as he reached out his hand, we can only imagine what was going through Peter's mind. What was going through Peter's mind was, wait, don't touch him. Whatever you do, don't touch him, because if you touch him, then we have to go all the way back to the temple and get you, you know, you'll be ceremonially unclean, and so we'll have to clean you and get you back into, you know, it'll take days. Jesus, whatever you do, can't you just say something to him? He reached out his hand. I think Peter would say, I'll never forget it. And he touched the man. Because Jesus wasn't constrained by purity laws or ritual or political correctness, because in that culture, ritual, religious, political practices and beliefs were all kind of blended together. And Jesus ignores political ritual correctness, and he touches the leper. And it was dangerous. And I think Peter at first was shocked, but then I think he thought it was refreshing. Jesus said, I'm willing. And he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. And so the man goes and tells everybody. All right. And so Jesus would go on. Go show yourself to the priests and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, don't miss this, because according to Moses' law, anybody who was cleaned of leprosy would have to go back and be checked out by the priest in order to be given a clean bill of health. And when they did that, according to the scripture, they had to give a gratitude offering. But also in that scripture, it was declared that anybody who touched a leper would have to go and do the same thing. So Peter's thinking to himself, we're going to have to go back, but we're not going back. Why aren't we going back to the temple where we should be cleansed, Jesus? Because this was a time of transition. Because the old was passing away and the new was arriving. And Jesus would be the king of this new thing that was happening. And so once this healing happened, people, you know, word spread. And the scripture says Jesus couldn't go into any home because of the crowds. So they leave that area and they travel around and they arrive in Capernaum, where they do visit someone's home. And Jesus continues to preach. And what does he preach? He preaches, the time is now. Everything's been leading up to this moment. The time is now. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. Now face it. And his call to you and me and all of us is to face it and embrace it. To face it and embrace it. And while he's preaching in this home, a group of guys come from outside and they can't get into this home. And they're carrying somebody. They're carrying a friend of theirs. And you remember the story, right? They're carrying their friend who is paralyzed on the mat and they can't get in the house. So what do? You remember what they do? They climb up on the ceiling, on the roof of the house, and they start peeling back the roof of the house. Now everybody's inside listening to Jesus, so you could hear a pin drop, but suddenly they heard a bunch of things start dropping. And this man gets lowered down right in front of Jesus, and Jesus looks up. And when Jesus saw their faith, now how do you know when you see faith? Well, for the same reason he knew about the paralytic, was because if you believe Jesus can and you're hopeful that he will, that's perfect faith. When you believe that God can and you're hopeful that God will, That's faith. You can see that faith. And so now this guy's laying there, and everyone's quiet, and Jesus looks at him, and he said to the paralyzed man, "Sons, your sins are forgiven," to which there was kind of a groan that went out around the room, because, wait a minute, did he just say forgive his sins? I mean, mortals can't forgive sins. And I think the paralytic man looked up at him and groaned as well and said, "Well, Jesus, that's not quite why I dropped in," you know? So the implication of what Jesus said was not lost on this audience, and it was stunning. You're announcing, wait a minute, Jesus, you're announcing that this man's sins are forgiven even though that he hasn't offered a sacrifice. You're saying his sins are forgiven even though there has been no trip to the temple, there has been no priest involved. Jesus, who do you think you are? Do you think with just one word you can replace all that Moses put into place? See, we know that they were thinking that because of what Peter shared next. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They have no category for this. No one did. And then again, there's silence, and Jesus looks at them, and he's reading their minds. So just be careful, by the way. That's a little lesson. If you're around Jesus, he knows what you're thinking. And so he's looking right at them and says, "Why are you thinking these things? This is great. Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'?" It's not a trick question. It's a really actually very easy question to answer, because remember some background here. And that day, in that day, everybody believed that if you were sick, it was because you did something wrong. That if there was something wrong with you, that means that you actually did something wrong. Of course, Jesus rejected that view, because his view was the Genesis view. The Genesis view said that when sin entered the world, sickness and disease and death entered on the heels of it, that there's not this one-to-one relationship between doing something wrong and being sick, but there is a relationship. And so Jesus goes on, and now he really blows up everybody's mind. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Now, how would you substantiate that? Maybe by putting sin back into the box. So he said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And again, you could kind of hear a pin drop, because, hey, if he could reverse the consequences of sin, then maybe, just maybe, he really could forgive sins with just a word. And sure enough, the man stands up, takes his mat, and walks out in front of everybody, which is Peter's little way of saying, "Hey, fact checked me, because I wasn't the only one who witnessed this." So let me ask you, do you ever wonder if God can and God will forgive you? I mean, do you ever wonder that when God listens to your prayers, that he does view you not through the lens of what you have done in your life or what you haven't done or what you're currently doing, that God doesn't view you through those lens, but instead views you through the lens of what Christ, what Jesus has done for you? Do you still wonder, really believe, whether you can be free from all of the baggage that continues to kind of that go with you? Do you still wonder about that? Peter would say, and Jesus would say, you can have a sense of peace that comes from somewhere outside of yourself. That's why Jesus said something new has come. If you face it and embrace it, this new thing, if you recognize, you can recognize your Heavenly Father no longer holds your sins against you. And for some of us, that's still big news. Well, Peter now rushes to the third narrative, and they find themselves in this little fishing village. As Jesus was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. Now remember, whenever we talk about tax collectors, think criminals, because that's what everybody else was thinking about. That Jesus was inviting Peter's thinking, you can't invite him. Come on, Jesus. It's one thing to heal a paralytic. It's quite another thing to invite somebody who everybody has disgust over. And he got up and followed him. And now listen to this. Jesus goes to a party full of criminals. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. I don't think Peter wants us to miss this fact that in the kingdom of God, this new thing that Jesus is doing, everybody is invited to participate. Even folks like Levi, who had betrayed his people out of greed. Even me, and I betrayed my Savior out of a sense of fear. And I would say to you today, even Pastor John, even me, even though I went to school to preach against sin, and I'm still the sinner. And so even someone like Peter and James and John, someone like me, someone like you, who whatever your story is. I think Peter stood there that day and said, this is completely different. And there is something almost disturbing about it. There is something so uncertain about it, but you know what? There is something exciting about this that I can't turn away from. You see, this new way, this new kingdom moving on would continue to collide with Peter's way. Because it would collide with Peter's fear and Peter's insecurity and Peter's prejudice. And this new kingdom, this new way forward, will continue to collide with my way, with my fears, with my insecurity, with my prejudice. What about you? Could you face and embrace this new way? It's a better way. It's a far more exciting way than any other way of living. But Peter, James, and John, they have a decision to make. We can walk away and preserve our reputation, or we can embrace this new, dangerously uncertain, disruptive way. How about you? Take a step today, again, back toward God, and let God do what only God can do with you. Let's pray. Gracious God, it is really the power of your love that changes us from the inside out. It's this power of knowing that we're so connected to you that we don't have to worry about tomorrows. And we don't have to stress over what has come before us and behind us. That we can live every single day in your presence, and that we can take what you have given us, this power of this new kingdom, this kingdom where everything's upside down, where love reigns, and we can share it with others. Lord, won't you break our hearts open so that we can live a life to the fullest potential in you? We pray this in your name. Amen.